Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Tuesday, October 1st. Joining us today are Eric and Kate. Let's dive right in. Today, we're discussing a recent lawsuit filed by California's Attorney General against a Catholic hospital for denying emergency abortion care. Let's start with the basics. Eric, can you explain what happened in this case?
Sure thing, Ted. So here's the deal. A 36-year-old woman named Anna Nuslock was pregnant with twins when her water broke at just 15 weeks. That's way too early for the babies to survive. One of the twins had already died, but get this, the hospital refused to perform an emergency abortion because the other fetus still had a heartbeat. It's a pretty sticky situation, if you ask me.
Absolutely, and we can't overlook the fact that this refusal put Nuslock's life in serious danger. The standard medical procedure...
Hold on a second, Kate. While I get where you're coming from, we've got to consider the hospital's religious beliefs here. Catholic hospitals operate
under... Oh, come on. Those guidelines shouldn't trump patient safety. Nuslock had to travel to another hospital while she was hemorrhaging. That's not just unacceptable, it's downright dangerous.
Let's dive deeper into the legal aspects. Kate, what specific laws does the Attorney General claim were violated?
Well, Ted... The lawsuit alleges violations of three state laws, the Emergency Services Law, the Unruh Civil Rights Act, and the Unfair Competition Law. These laws aren't just some bureaucratic mumbo-jumbo. They're designed to keep patients safe and prevent discrimination. It's pretty clear-cut, if you ask me.
Now, hang on a minute. We can't just brush aside the fact that Catholic hospitals are protected by conscience clauses in various state and federal laws. This isn't the first rodeo for this kind of lawsuit, and previous attempts have fallen flat on their face. It's not as simple as you're making it out to be, Kate.
That doesn't make it right. These laws are putting women's lives at risk. In Nuslock's case, she was left traumatized and dealing with anxiety.
I get it, and I sympathize with her situation. Really, I do. But we can't just ignore the religious freedom aspects of this case. Catholic hospitals have...
Religious freedom? Are you kidding me? It shouldn't come at the cost of people's lives. This is a textbook example of how these policies are endangering women, even in states that are supposed to have strong abortion protections.
This case certainly raises important questions about the balance between religious freedom and patient care. Eric, how widespread is this issue?
It's pretty significant, Ted. We're talking about Catholic hospitals making up about 16% of acute care hospitals in the U.S. That means they're caring for 1 in 7 hospital patients every single day, and in some states they account for an even bigger piece of the pie. It's not just a drop in the bucket, that's for sure.
And that's exactly why this is so alarming. We're talking about millions of people relying on these hospitals for care. And many of them might...
While that's true, we can't just sweep under the rug the fact that these hospitals provide crucial healthcare services to many communities. They're the largest group
of... But at what cost? They're denying essential care based on religious beliefs, not medical necessity. This case is a perfect example of how dangerous that can be. We're talking about real lives at stake.
Let's look at this issue in a broader context. Can either of you draw parallels to similar historic events where religious beliefs conflicted with medical care?
Sure thing, Ted. This situation reminds me of the Jehovah's Witnesses blood transfusion controversy. For decades, Jehovah's Witnesses have been saying no thanks to blood transfusions based on their interpretation of biblical passages. It's been a hot topic in medical ethics for years.
Interesting comparison, Eric. But there's a huge difference here. Jehovah's Witnesses are making choices for themselves, not forcing their beliefs on others who show up at public hospitals needing care. It's apples and oranges, really.
True, but it still shows the long-standing tension between religious beliefs and medical care. In both cases, we're seeing deeply held religious convictions.
The key difference is consent, Eric. Nuslock didn't sign up to be treated according to Catholic doctrine. She needed emergency care and was denied based on
someone
else's.
Fair point, but let's not forget that Catholic hospitals have been operating under these guidelines for decades. It's not like they suddenly changed the rules overnight.
That doesn't make it right. Just because something's been happening for a long time doesn't mean we should keep doing it, especially when lives are at stake. We need to do better.
Interesting perspectives. Let's shift gears slightly. How does this case relate to the broader landscape of abortion rights in the post-Roe era?
Well, Ted, this case shines a spotlight on the complex patchwork of abortion laws and regulations across the country. Even in a state like California, which is known for having strong abortion protections, we're seeing these conflicts pop up. It's like a legal minefield out there.
Exactly. And it shows how the overturning of Roe v. Wade has emboldened institutions to deny care, even in emergency situations.
Whoa, hold your horses there. I wouldn't say it's emboldening them. Catholic hospitals have consistently followed these guidelines for years. The Dobbs decision
But it's created
hasn't.
An environment where more hospitals might feel justified in denying care. We're seeing similar situations in states with strict abortion bans. It's a slippery slope.
That's speculation, Kate. This case is specifically about longstanding Catholic hospital policies, not new restrictions. We can't just lump everything together.
It's not speculation when we're seeing real-world impacts. Women are being put at risk across the country because of these policies. We need to face the facts here.
As we wrap up, let's look to the future. How do you think this case might unfold, and what could be the broader implications?
I hate to say it, but I think the hospital will likely come out on top in this case, Ted. Previous lawsuits against Catholic hospitals on similar grounds have fallen flat. The conscience clauses provide some pretty solid legal protection for religious health care providers. It's not an easy nut to crack.
I couldn't disagree more. This case is different because it's being brought by the state attorney general, not just an individual plaintiff. It has
Even so, federal protections for religious freedom are pretty robust. I think we'll see the court uphold the hospital's right to operate according to its...
That would be a devastating outcome for women's health. If the hospital wins, it could embolden other religious hospitals to deny emergency care, putting more lives at risk. We can't let that
Interesting.
Happen.
What about the broader implications beyond this specific case?
If the hospital loses, it could lead to a major shakeup in how Catholic hospitals operate nationwide. We might see some facilities choose to stop offering certain services rather than compromise their beliefs. It's not just about this one case. It could have ripple effects across the whole healthcare system.
Good. If they can't provide comprehensive emergency care, they shouldn't be operating as emergency facilities. This could lead to better, more inclusive
That's a pretty simplistic view, Kate. Catholic hospitals provide crucial services in many communities. Forcing them out could create healthcare deserts.
Then those communities deserve better options that don't put religious doctrine above patient care. This case could be the catalyst for much needed change in our healthcare system.
Or it could lead to a reduction in available healthcare services, especially in rural areas where Catholic hospitals might be the only option. We need to think about the big picture here.
That's why we need stronger regulations to ensure all hospitals provide necessary care, regardless of religious affiliation. This case could be the first step toward that goal. It's time for real change.
Well, it's clear this case has far-reaching implications and strong opinions on both sides. We'll certainly be keeping an eye on how it unfolds. Thanks to Eric and Kate for sharing their insights today.